Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. Great to have you out there listening today. We're going to be talking about the resurrection today, about the proof that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and what it means to you, what it means to me, what it means to our spiritual walk here on this earth right now, and also what it means to us for all eternity. And I just praise the Lord that Jesus has risen from the dead. I praise the Lord this day, Resurrection Sunday. I praise the Lord that we can celebrate the fact that he's no longer in the tomb. Of all the leaders of all the religions of the world, Jesus Christ is the one that's still not laying in the grave. He's not laying in the tomb. And he is risen. He is our risen Lord, our risen Savior. And in that we can take great hope. We can rejoice. We can be filled with the joy because of the resurrection and his death and burial and resurrection. He has defeated death for all time. He has defeated the sting of death. And so if you walk with the Lord Jesus, if you know him as your Lord and Savior, if you have identified yourself with him through confession of faith in him and your baptism in him, you will know that you are also able to defeat death in your life, that death will have no victory over you, that death will have no sting over you. And so we just praise the Lord to be able to speak this message this morning. We praise the Lord that God is able to take each and every one of us, cover our sins, and raise us up in victory, raise us up with that same resurrection power that he raised his son, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible there to 1 Corinthians 15, this is called the resurrection chapter. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul makes a rather lengthy argument about the witnesses and the reason that we can believe in Christ's resurrection, and then that we believe in that. What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us? Not only now in this present day, but what does it mean for us in the future? What does it mean to us for all eternity? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start in verse 4. It says that Jesus was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and then he starts to recite the proofs of the people who saw Jesus Christ after he was resurrected. And verse 5, he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, and that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, or some that have seen him have died. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, and then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. And Paul is referring there to when he saw Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was helping to drag them out of their homes. He was helping to stone them. And so he was complicit in murdering Christians and in the death of Christians. And Jesus Christ appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And Jesus called him out and he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you kicking against the goads? And God had chosen Saul. God had chosen him to be an instrument of his to spread the gospel through the Gentile world. And so at that point in time, Saul had his encounter with Jesus Christ. And I know each and every one of us, God wants you to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to see Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that Jesus Christ is real. He wants you to know that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord and Savior, and that he came to die on the cross for you. He came to shed his blood for you, that you would have remission of sins, and then he came to set you free and to resurrect you into newness of life, that you could walk out of your old dead life and you could walk in newness of life, not only here on this earth, but then you could walk in eternity, in newness of life, in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, with him and the Father God, Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels and the saints of old. Well, Paul then goes on to discuss that many people were doubting the resurrection, and many people were saying there is no resurrection. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Well, it's an obvious fact that Jesus Christ died for us. He went to the cross because there was no other sacrifice that was sufficient to cover our sins. There was no other blood by any man, by any animal, any beast, anything created on this earth. There was no other blood that was holy, that was perfect, that was righteous, without spot, stain, or wrinkle. There was no other blood that was sufficient to cover our sin. And so the sacrifice was made, the ransom was paid by Jesus Christ. We talked about this last week, that Jesus took his own blood into the Holy of Holies. Not the copy, not the temple or the tabernacle, not the copy made with man's hands, but Jesus Christ took his own blood into the Holy of Holies, that is, into heaven itself, and he presented his own blood on behalf of himself. He presented his own blood to the Father as payment, as ransom for the sins of you and I. And so that payment was sufficient for the sins of all mankind for all time. That payment was sufficient for the sins of those who nailed Jesus to the cross and those who denied him at that day, and also for you this day, 2,000 years later. That payment is sufficient for your sins. And brother, sister out there, there's some people out there listening to me today. You think that you've sinned too much. You think you've been too tarnished and too dirty for the Lord to clean you up, for the blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. And I say to you today, this day, Resurrection Sunday, that you are not too dirty, that you are not too wrinkled and full of spot and full of tarnish, that you are a child of God, you were made in his image, and that there is nothing you have done on this earth that is too great for God. Precious blood of his son, for God's precious blood of his son, there's nothing that you have done that is too great for that precious blood to cover it and to wash you clean of your conscience and your dead works, to wash you clean and set you free for your life of eternity with Jesus Christ. And if you'll just come to him today, if you'll say, Jesus, I want you to cleanse me, I want you to come and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. I'm convicted of my sin. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe that I have lied and that I've stolen, that I've cheated, that I've done many sinful things. If you'll just say that today and you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, to wash you clean with the blood, then you have that same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have been endowed with that same resurrection power. You can walk forward in newness of life and be resurrected to walk into your destiny and raised up from your life of dead works. Well, in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. And Paul is referring here to Adam. Since through Adam came death, Adam was the first to sin. He was the first to rebel on this earth from God. He was placed in the garden with his wife Eve, and Eve took the apple, and it said she was deceived. But Adam knew better. He was the one who sinned, and he rebelled against God. And he went with the program of the devil. And so through him, all of the people of the earth, including us, we have a sin nature. All of the people who followed Adam, right down to this very day, we are born in the image of God, but we are under the rulership on this earth of the devil. Jesus said the devil is the ruler of this world. But never mind, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And the only way that you can overcome your sin nature, the only way that you can walk in to the fullness of what Jesus Christ wants for you, the only way that you can do that is you must receive the gift, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for you. You must receive that payment. You must receive that atoning gift and accept the fact that Jesus Christ wants to set you free from your life of sin and your dead works. And so Jesus Christ, it says in verse 20, that he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Well, what does it mean by the first fruits? It means that Jesus Christ was given back to God. He was given back to God as the first fruit of all creation. Of all the people that God created here on this earth, Jesus Christ went to the grave and he overcame the sting of death, and he was given or presented back to God as an offering, and his blood as a sacrificial offering was given back to God as the first fruits of all creation. And brother and sister, if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a number. You are going to be resurrected when Jesus comes back for the rapture. You are going to be resurrected, and the saints that have died, passed on already, they will go first, and those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. We'll be caught up together with the Lord, and we will live with him and dine and feast with him in heaven for all eternity. And now Christ is risen from the dead. He is the first fruits. And so in verse 22 it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after us those who are Christ's at his coming." And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Well, that's a reference to the millennial reign and the New Jerusalem at the end of the age. At some point in time, the devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire, and the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And there will be a time then when there will be no more rebellion. There will be no more sin, there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more rejection, and we will be set free to live and reign with Christ in the millennium and the New Jerusalem for all eternity. So Christ is the first fruits of the dead, and we then follow him, and we then have the opportunity to be with Jesus for all eternity. Praise the Lord for that. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54, Paul goes on to say then that the sting of death has been removed. In 1 Corinthians 15, 54, in this scripture it says, "So when this corruptible," that is this corruptible body, "has put on incorruption," that is in the resurrection, we are resurrected as an incorruptible body, a body that cannot be corrupted by sin or by aging or by pain or sickness. He said, "When this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal," our mortal body, "has put on immortality." In other words, our resurrection body is immortal. It lives on for all eternity. Our resurrection body then will be joined at some point with our spirit and our soul with the Lord in heaven. And they will be united in spirit and soul and body. And they will be united for all eternity to live with the Lord in heaven. He says, "When this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Verse 55, "O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so our victory is to live in our resurrected bodies and be joined with our spirits and our soul. If you die today, you go right to heaven, your spirit and your soul go right to heaven, and you will be with the angels and the saints who have gone on before, but your resurrection body will join them at the point in time of the rapture when Jesus comes back to gather up his church and to gather them up and to take them to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb. But you are going to defeat death if you know Jesus Christ. You are going to defeat the sting of death. And if you are out there today and you have fear of death, if you have fear of many fears of this and that, and fear dominates your life. I ask you today, do you fear death? Do you fear the afterlife? Do you know where you're going to be if you were to be taken from this earth today, if this were your last day on this earth? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And if you fear death, if you have a great fear of death, I pray to you today, I pray for you today that you will come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that you will no longer have any fear of death, that you will place your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will place your life in His hands, and you will trust Him to guide you each and every day. Well, as you saw this week, the great slaughter of those students over in Kenya, many of them were in a prayer meeting on the last day of their life when they met their Maker. When the terrorists came in and started to slaughter them, they were in a prayer meeting. They were on their knees praying to God, and their life has been a life of sacrifice and martyrdom, that their death is a death of martyrs. And I pray that you know for certain that if you were to leave this earth today, that if today were your last day on this earth, that you would know where you're going to be for all eternity, and that you have no fear of death, because you have the assurance that death has been defeated, that the sting of death has been defeated in your life. So that begs the question, what are we to do with our life in the meantime? If you're given another 5 years or 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, if you're a young person listening to me today, if you've been given full life of 70, or if by strength 80, what are you going to do with your life from this point on? What are you going to do with your life to maximize your time here on this earth, which, by the way, goes by just like whisper. It goes by like a wisp of smoke in the wind. It will be over before you know it, so I suggest and I exhort you to make the most of the time, to redeem the time that God has given to you, to commit your life to service to Jesus Christ. Well, in John verse 21, after Jesus showed himself to the disciples, it says that the disciples were at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way Jesus showed himself. This is after the resurrection, when Jesus is appearing to the disciples in his resurrection body. In verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we are going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And in verse 6, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, and he plunged into the sea. And so they all raced to the shore, and they had breakfast with Jesus. Jesus had a little fire going there on the beach, and he had the grill out, and he grilled for them some fish so that they could break bread and have breakfast with him there on the shore. Well, the point of learning of that story, what we can take away from it, is if you cast your net in the place where Jesus tells you to, if you cast your net there and you fish for men, if you dedicate your life to go fishing for men and you cast your net into the place where Jesus tells you to cast it, brethren, you're going to reap 30, 60, and 100-fold. You're going to take in a harvest that the kingdom is going to bless. You're going to take in a harvest that'll bring glory to the Lord. And many times in our life, we fish and we fish, and we have no success. We cast our net here, we cast our net there. We think we're going to get rich doing this, or we think this is going to bring us great joy, or we think that somehow if we just had more money, or we had better-looking wife, or children that behaved more, or whatever, that life would be wonderful. that we would be happy. I tell you today, when you cast your net where Jesus tells you to cast it, if you start to listen to him and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. In all your ways, listen to him. Listen to the Master. He is calling to you today. He's telling you where to cast your net so that you will have the joy of knowing him for all eternity. He's telling you today where to put out your net so that you can have joy and you can have peace and you can stop struggling. And he will take the pain from you. He will take your sorrow. He will take all of the things that the devil has stolen from you, and he will start to give them back to you. He will give them back sevenfold every way that the stripping, the chewing, the gnawing locust has stolen from you. He will give them back to you, and he will give you this day the joy of knowing him. He will give you this day the joy of not having fear of death. He will give you this day the joy of being able to say, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, that he died for me, that he was buried, and that he rose for me, and that I can go with him when I have breathed my last day here on this earth. I can go with him for all eternity, and I can live here on this earth. I can walk with him and know the joy of walking with him in peace, and know the joy of having the glory of God in my life, and my life will become then as one who lives in heaven on this earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I pray for you this day, brother and sister. I pray that if you're listening out there today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you get down on your knees, you repent of your sins, you ask the Lord to save you, you ask the Lord to take your life and to mold it and to shape it into what brings glory to him, that you would listen for his instruction in casting your net, that you would go fishing for the Lord and for the kingdom of God, and that you would give glory to him. Follow it up with Christian baptism and ask the Lord then to reveal to you his perfect destiny and his calling on your life. If you would do that today, I know you're going to be blessed. If you would do that today, you're going to find joy and peace that you've never known before. If you would do that today, you are going to walk with the Lord Jesus from this day forth forevermore. Well, God bless you today. I hope you have a great resurrection day. I hope you get to spend time with your family and in worship today. And God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.